podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Oscar Bevis, IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast here in Bushy, once again, with Mr. Aaron Woodcock. How are you, mate?
Mr. Bevis, I'm good. How are you, mate?
Very well, very well. Always like coming down here, of course, see the boys and whatnot. We've got quite a lot to talk about, I think, or well, a fair bit to talk about. I don't know when our last one was. I'm pretty sure it would have been over a year. Quite a lot's gone on for you in that year, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's been some ups, some downs, some exciting stuff, some real shitty stuff, but yeah, we're still here, and a lot to talk about, mate, a lot to talk about.
I remember, obviously, we spoke about your transition from the white-collar side to professional boxing and you being in the corner and some of the opportunities that you were kind of, at the time, like a bit starstruck with.
Yeah.
You were involved in some of the COVID shows at Wembley Arena and whatnot with Jez, but you also had some of the boys you were training yourself, and we just spoke a little bit off camera about that, and some of them, or the majority of them, are not boxing now, and just kind of goes to show how shit the sport can be at kind of the small hall level.
Yeah, it's like, if you're not in boxing, you don't appreciate what the entry level into professional boxing is like. So, I mean, for example, the lad I was working with, he had two fights. He was non-bout. I was making his debut. Two fights, both got postponed, pushed back, and then when it got rearranged again, went to do his tickets, and fans and family and friends are just like, kind of lost interest and ended up not being able to do enough tickets to fight, and then ended up getting the ump with it and just hanging up the gloves. So yeah, it's a brutal sport at the entry level for sure.
And there was someone else who failed an eye test as well. So yeah. you do all that kind of build up, and yeah. I suppose these tests are what, nearer the fight time. So you basically do a camp to be told you ain't allowed to fight.
That was brutal because he was a lad from Italy and he came over specifically for boxing. So he had amateur experience in Italy and he came over and we trained and trained and trained. There was a language barrier, which was difficult, but we worked our way around it. He sat the board, we had an interpreter talk to the board, and they granted him his license pending a trial. So we went up, I can't remember where it was now, we went up, had his trial, tick, 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 yep, we're happy with him. Went to get the medical, obviously, before his license was approved. And first stage, I said, listen, go and get your eyes done, because that's the cheapest thing to do. You don't want to go and get your brain scan before. And so he went and got his eyes test and got the results back. And I saw the results and I was like, have you got eye problems? He was like, yeah, it's a little bit of trouble. And I was like, oh my, I can't believe it. So we sent off to the board and they were just like, he's not even close to ever being able to allow to be given the license. I was just like, 6 months of my life just down the drain. And his, of course. But yeah, frustrating times, man. Frustrating times. Another lad sat the board. He'd had 30-odd kickboxing fights. And they declined him because he didn't have any amateur background. So yeah, he's now jumped in the amateurs, actually. We started the amateurs here now. And going to roll those guys out, hopefully, in sort of September time. So we'll get him a few amateur bouts. Try and get 8 or 10 and then have him resit.
Horrible sport at times, isn't it?
Yeah, listen, but it's the best sport in the world, but can be the most gruesome and frustrating and dogged sport around.
Well, you've had them situations and you've also seen it at sort of the TV level and whatnot recently. Mm. One of the best results you'd have had, Baluta. Little upset on the cards. I say an upset, I think a lot of people kind of considered that 50-50, maybe 60-40 in Brad's favour. Credit to Brad for coming back and taking that, because he is one tough geezer. Yeah, but little turn up on the cards for Baluta.
Yeah, it is, man. Listen, we've seen Baluta sparring top guys all around the country, and like, we knew what he was capable of. And we went into the fight thinking, I can't believe we've been given this opportunity here. Like, the bookmakers had Foster slight favourite, but in our eyes, it was like, how do we lose this? Like, he's so tough. He's got a granite chin. His work rate is a million miles an hour. His pedigree, been in with, do you know what I mean? He's been in with Conlon recently, and it was a close fight. And we just thought, this is such a great opportunity that's fallen on his lap. But listen, he still had to turn up. It's a real messy fight. Foster made it difficult. But yeah, he showed his experience, and he got through it, man. So yeah, all kudos to him, champ.
It was funny when Josh was telling me about the language barrier. I mean, you spoke about the language barrier between you and the Italian fellow you had in here. But he was refusing to sit down in between rounds because he basically wanted to seem like nothing's phasing me. And you're just trying to put Vaseline on a geezer, just swaying side to side.
I think round 8, I said, Baluta, sit still. And he was so pumped, Josh is trying to explain like what he wants him to do, but he's just staring over at Foster like, I'm like, calm down. I need to vast your face. Like, stay still. I think by round 8, I almost had him in a headlock, like trying to vast the kid's face. Like, but yeah, he's a character. He's a character. The language barrier, I've got a cool story actually. So I think Josh was away or he had something else. He said, can you take Baluta down to Matchroom to spar with Cordina? No problems. We've gone up there. I think he's got to around 5 or 6. I'm trying to explain stuff to him. Just minimal stuff. Because obviously I know the language barrier. Yes. I'm thinking, he's not listening to me here. I had a feeling. So I think it got to round 7. And I just spoke complete gibberish to him. Like, not even English words. Just
you've
like...
kind of given him a little test to see. Is he actually...
Like, yeah. Some gobbledygook. And he looked at me and went, yeah. I just thought, okay, all right. Give him his water and just let him go out and do what he does. Yeah, but yeah. Now, listen, he's a great fighter. And hopefully some bigger opportunities for him coming up.
Yeah, look forward to seeing where he goes. I come in here and spoke to Mitch a couple of days ago. That's obviously been up since the interview. You've seen it as well. Really good interview. And it was good to get Mitch back in front of the camera, actually. Definitely hasn't lost the talk. But he obviously cited you as one of the big reasons, pretty much arguably the reason for his return, saying that if it wasn't for being able to link up with you, there weren't a coach in the world that could have got him back inside the ring.
But you know what, like... Oh, that obviously means a lot to me, and it's a big compliment from Mitch. I think when he said that, he wasn't just talking about my ability as a coach. It was the whole environment that we were in. Because when he first came, he came to the gym. He was doing a bit of PT in, and I think he was talking about that, maybe doing an unlicensed fight again just to make a bit of money up towards Christmas time. He didn't really have any interest in going pro again. So he said, do you mind just doing a bit of pads with me? And I was like, yeah, of course, no problem. So listen, I can't be there on a fight night. It's an unlicensed event and whatnot. But if you want a bit of help with training, in between your clients and my schedule, no problem. So we done it. And listen, we were just having a laugh, man. We just clicked straight away. Like, you can't even explain it. And yes, we were just enjoying time in the gym, doing pads. I was putting him through circuits and stuff. And his weight started coming down. And what happens, the fight he was supposed to have got postponed. I think the show got pulled for some kind of reason, and it was just like, oh well, that's kind of it, kind of thing. And then I'm sure he came to me and he was like, how do you feel about coaching me? I was like, well, what does that mean? Like, you want to go pro again? He said, it's still got that burning thing inside me where I need to for myself, I can't sort of leave it where it is. The weight's coming down, I'm in a better place now, I'm in a gym, blah blah blah. So I said, I'll let you know. So I went away and I thought about it. And I thought, why have all these coaches that have got more experience than me by a million miles not been able to get Mitch over the last little bit? Because there's been, I think, 4 or 5 times he worked in a few different gyms. Went up to Manchester. He was over at West Ham for a little bit. What have they done that just wasn't enough for him? And it sort of dawned on me, it wasn't in the gym that he needed the help with. Do you know what I mean? He's got 23 years boxing experience, which he likes to remind me on a daily basis, does he, the boy? So I thought that there's little bits and pieces that he's picked up for me along the way, but he didn't need help in the gym. It was when he walked out of the gym. It was getting his life in a place where he's got an income, he's doing a bit of work in the gym, he's settled at home. My lovely missus was making all of his food for him, like creating an environment for him where he was happy, so that when he came to the gym, he came because he wanted to come and train. Not he was going through turmoil outside of the gym and wanted to come to the gym for a break to get his to clear his head. Do you know what I mean? So we put that in place and we started training. Yeah, and it was we didn't really know where it was going to go, to be honest. It was just like I said to him, listen, you know, this is a weight based sport. You can't fight it this way. So we'll crack on. We'll try and get the weight off you, and then we'll talk where we are in a couple of months. So, and now we're here.
Well, it was good to see him, obviously, back in the ring. I know we spoke yesterday to him about how much he kind of had to kill himself to get that weight off. But one thing that, one thing he did mention, and that when you watched the interview, must have, I don't know, given you goosebumps a little bit, is the fact that he said, I still believe I can win a world title. Now, look, he knows that's distant yet. Yeah. He's only just had his comeback 6th rounder, but from someone who a year ago we sat there and spoke about going from the white collar scene to now working with a fighter who is known in British boxing and will get an opportunity because of his name, to someone who is talking about going on to fight for world titles. I said we're a way off, but that must have given you a little bit of a
Yeah, listen, Mitch knows where he is now. Like I said, we just come off a 6-rounder in Watford Leisure Centre. We know his level's way above that, but people aren't just going to jump straight away, oh, Mitchell's back, well, let's just get on the phone and offer him something. We know where we are. We, listen, if he's as good as what we feel he is, as what I feel he is, of what I've seen in the gym and in sparring, he can go and compete at elite level, 1,000,000%. No doubt in my mind, and definitely no doubt in his mind. And yeah, listen, world title sounds exciting, doesn't it? But listen, we won't run before we can walk. But yes, he's got to step up again. We're out July 23rd. Hopefully we'll do super lightweight then. A little bit of a step up. But yeah, again, just an opponent. And then hopefully we can get some interest from... Listen, his dream, again, is to be back on TV, back in big fights, like make some money for himself and his family and leave a legacy on his name, not just sort of where he left boxing 5-6 years ago. And I believe we can get there, man, 100%. Like, he is still a name in boxing. He's a crowd pleaser. He's excited. He can fight for fun. Like, I'm sure we will get some interest after July 23rd from some kind of promotional. And then, yeah, we'll sit down and go from there.
Brilliant. Can't wait to see where Mitchell's journey goes. And maybe if we leave it another year, we'll be doing this in Vegas for the world title. Who knows?
Mate, listen, don't. You know, listen, before my boxing... career, I actually played poker for a living for about 10 years, so Vegas is like Vegas is my second home. So
yeah, Baluta's shot. Mate, there we go.
Listen, I'll be headlocking Baluta in Vegas, trying to put some Vass on his face at the MGM or something. Yeah, but yeah, that would be epic, man. 100%. You'll be with us. We'll employ you as our personal media man over in Vegas.
Love that, Aaron. Top man.
Appreciate it. Top man. Sports Social Podcast Network.